So in this morning's message, I'd like to bring two things forward for your consideration. And both of these are organizational things, meaning they are part of how we are organizing parts of our gathered church worship times. And so I'd like to present these things to you as challenges. If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So the first of the challenges is the challenge of renewing your mind. The challenge of renewing your mind. That expression, renewing your mind, is found in verse 2 of Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And if you notice in the context there, it is saying that this renewing of our mind counteracts the world's action to shape us into its mold, to make us think according to its values or behave according to its standards. Next, if you'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. This is another place where you would find that expression, renewing your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the renewing of your mind here is found within the context of change. It's sandwiched in the middle of change in a believer's life. The Lord works a turnaround in our lives through renewing our minds. And then the third scripture that I'd like us to turn to is in Psalms. Psalm 1, please. Psalm 1 tells us one of the aspects of this renewing of our minds. Psalm 1 tells us how the Word of God is part of that renewing. Psalm 1 describes the blessed man. In verse 1, it describes his separation. And then verse 2 describes his saturation. He is saturated with the Word of God. He meditates therein day and night. So if God holds up someone and says they're blessed, He is saying to you that you should want to be like this person, this blessed man. So part of the announcements this morning was to announce the scripture memorization that we're planning. A verse a month. And then on Sundays review, one verse each month. That is part of renewing our minds. It is the part that the Word of God has in changing how we think so that we would think God's way. So I'm not telling you or saying to you that if you memorize Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39, you'll be spiritual. It's going to solve all your growth problems. It's going to make you feel so much better as a believer. as if that is all that's required of you. What I'm taking this time to say to you and to challenge you with is to set yourself to meditate on God's word so that your mind would be renewed to think God's way. It is not unusual for me to ask someone or for you to ask someone, how are you feeling today? And we are certainly encouraged by the world around us to live by our feelings, to get in touch with your feelings. How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my circumstances? How do I feel about my wife? How do I feel about church? How do I feel about the preacher? How do I feel about worship? But the life lived by feelings changes as many times as my feelings change. And not only might I ask someone or be asked, how are you feeling? I might also ask or be asked, how are you doing? Don't tell me what your theology is. Just tell me what to do. Give me the four keys and the formula for it and just let me do it. Now, God is not against feelings. Don't misunderstand me. He made you with feelings. He himself has feelings. He has passions. And he understands yours. God is not against them. And God is not against actions. He actually tells you to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But the foundation of change is not how do I feel or what do I do. The foundation of change is what is true here. What is true about this? And the way that you come to know what is true about something is through the Word of God. Renewing your mind to think God's way about things. So are you planning? And I'm asking you because I asked myself the same question. Are you planning to set yourself to meditate on a passage of Scripture this year? Are you planning to set yourself to meditate on a series of Scriptures to help you in an area that you need to grow? There are resources that you can find and use. This one is called Armory for Victory. This one is called Grow in Grace. They're just memory verse cards so that you can memorize the Word of God so you can meditate on it. Remember Psalm 1, verse 2, the blessed man. His meditation is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Are you setting yourself to do this? Is there a particular temptation that you struggle with? Is there a need for comfort? Something that is troubling you, that you are anxious over? Are there bad thoughts that trouble you that you want to replace? Well, consider this challenge. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing what you should? Our minds are always filled with something. They're filled all the time that we're awake, and often they are active when we're asleep. Much to our awakeness and alarm in the middle of the night. What will shape and saturate your thoughts? Will it be God's words? The second challenge I'd like to challenge us with today. So the first is the challenge of renewing your mind. The second challenge is the challenge of trusting the Lord. And if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, introduces us to the foundational principle of a relationship with God. Habakkuk chapter 2, the foundational truth about a relationship with God is believing Him. The foundational principle of man's relationship with God is believing Him. The just shall live by his faith. And while it is introduced here in Habakkuk, this verse is quoted three times in the New Testament. And each of those three times, it takes one part of the verse and expands on it. So let me ask you to turn to these three in turn. And the first two we're just going to introduce. Romans chapter 1 verse 17 is the first reference. And it is going to expand upon the truth of that verse, the just. It's going to explain to us Romans chapter 1 verse 17 by its context that the way that we become, the way that we obtain a righteous standing with God is by faith. It's going to take that word just and expand it. It's going to explain it for us. For therein, talking about the gospel that's spoken of in verse 16, that's the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The way that you obtain a right standing with God is by faith. The second reference is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. And again, by its context, it's going to take a truth that's introduced to us in Habakkuk. It's going to take a part of that verse and it's going to expand upon it. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. It's going to tell us here that it is faith only. It is not faith mixed with the works of the law. It's going to tell us about faith's saving power. It's not faith plus something else. It is faith alone. The just shall live by faith. And then the third of these references is the book of Hebrews. And again, in its context, we understand which part of that verse it is taking and it is expanding. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 38, and let me begin reading in verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The truth of Habakkuk 2:4 that this is expanding upon is the life. The life characteristic of those who obtain righteousness with God. The life characteristic of those who are righteous with God. They continue believing. They are called believers. It was not the act of a moment. They now live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And now it is the third of these uses, the third of these references that I'd like to consider, the challenge of trusting the Lord. To you as a believer, the challenge of trusting God's promises to you. And it's interesting that verse 38 begins with the word now. How you should be living now, trusting the Lord. And I'd like to develop this truth in three ways. This idea of those who are righteous, those who are justified, living now by faith. The first of these is to live now by gospel principles. Galatians 2 verse 20, this is the way the Apostle Paul describes it. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. To live by gospel principles. That means living my life now as a believer in the full provision for my salvation and for my sanctification and for my glorification in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid it how much? All. And to live my life now in the realization of that provision. The songwriter Charles Wesley put it this way. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off your guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hands. Rise up. Cast off your guilty fears. It's not about what you how you perform. Jesus has done it. To arise and live in that full provision of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Another songwriter, Philip Bliss, put it this way, and I've only put here a few of the references because each of the verses, he takes another aspect of the provision in the gospel and sings of it. Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus hath bled, and there is remission. And then in this chorus, he says, once for all, O sinner, receive it. Once for all, O brother, believe it. In the next verse, he says, now are we free, there's no condemnation. Jesus provides a perfect salvation. It's complete. It's full. It's not 99.9% his and then 0.1% yours. He has done it all. It's full. And then in the final verse, he says, he sings, children of God, oh glorious calling. You can call God your Father, not as an idle mind exercise, but based on what Jesus has provided you. So live by gospel principles. That would be the first way that we should develop this trusting in the Lord. Unfortunately, many times we live like we're dead and that there's no hope. So could you inject faith into that? This injection that the provision is full and complete in the gospel of Jesus. I understand that there are disappointments. I understand that things might not have worked out in the way that you thought, that your circumstances aren't the way you thought. I understand how people disappoint us. And I understand the uncertainties of the times, how that makes us worry and makes us prone to anxiety. We can't see what's ahead. But do you know that this is the Lord of all the Lords? and the King of all the kings who has loved you and made you his child. None of these things are outside his control. These disappointments for you are actually his appointments. They're in his control and you are in his hand. So firstly, in trusting the Lord, let me challenge you to live by gospel principles, the full provision in the gospel of your salvation. Hebrews chapter 10, where we read, "The just shall live by faith," in verse 23, admonishes us to hold fast. Hold fast the profession of our, what's the next word, please?
Faith.
The second way I'd like to develop this challenge to you as a believer, to trust the Lord, is to have a steadfast faith. So perhaps one of these last times you've been to a rocky beach, you might have seen some kinds of seaweed. There's one that grows a lot on the rocks and it has little things like little bladders that help it float. And then you might have noticed another one that has a really long woody stalk and then it branches into long fronds and they're really thin. When I was a biology student, we did a field course where we went to a coastline and we studied all of those. And apparently that long one that has, it's like a person's hand but has long flat things, if you chew it, it's sweet. It's Digitalis saccharina, or a name like that. Anyway, that was for free. That doesn't help you any. I can't remember if I actually chewed it and tried it or not. But that long stem that comes down from it, where it attaches to the rock, that is called the hold fast. That's how it is anchored. Hebrews chapter 10, as the whole book, is written to Hebrews. It's called that because these were Jewish converts. And when they trusted Christ as their Savior, it intensified the pressure in their relationships. People disowned them. Their families wouldn't have anything to do with them because they turned their back on Moses. It didn't solve their problems. It created more problems for them. And they needed this exhortation to hold fast. You can trust the Lord with good and bad. You don't have to fall apart. You can trust the Lord when it is good and when it's the rain and when it's the sunshine. You don't have to go off the rails. Look at what the verse says. He is faithful that promised. You can trust God's promises. And then the third way I'd like us to consider this challenge is found in Romans. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So if the first challenge is to live by gospel principles, the second is to a steadfast faith. The third is to trusting the Lord in the ministry of the gospel. Trusting the Lord with the results of our labor. There's an interesting illustration from the life of the disciples in Luke chapter 5. They had fished all night. And when they came back to shore, they had caught nothing. And the Lord told them, Luke chapter 5, verse 4, to go out again, to launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And the interesting parallel is that there are times in ministry where we are called to do things and we see no results. It's as if we are like those fishermen. We fished all night and we have brought back nothing. And then the Lord tells us to go to that place of service where you've ministered before and do it again. The only reason you would go there and do that again is by faith. Perhaps there's a place, perhaps there's a relationship, perhaps there's a kind of ministry where you have served and served and served. Go again, believing that there are some who will hear and understand. Go by faith. So, two challenges. I'd like to challenge you, dear Christian, about renewing your mind. I'd like to challenge you, dear Christian, whether you're older or younger, whether you are single or married, I'd like to challenge you about trusting the Lord this year. They are both of these are part of the purposed reminders that we will have when we meet each Sunday in the scripture memory and in, Lord willing, a new theme that we're going to put up at the front here, that the just shall live by faith. But I wonder, in closing, what these things mean to you personally. Will you set yourself with all your heart to renew your mind? Will you set yourself to live by faith? To trust Him through the shade and the sunshine. To trust Him whatever befall. So this is my challenge to you. And I shouldn't want you to conclude from this that you need to do all of this at once. It's a step-by-step work. But will you set yourself? What will you set yourself to do in renewing your mind? What will you set yourself to do in trusting the Lord? To trust God's promises to you in His Son. Let's pray.